Hey there, and welcome to the Smart and Simple Matters Show with your host, Joel Zeslowski. He's quirky, he's mildly entertaining, and he has a strange fascination with stories about kids finding money on the ground. This is episode number 3. Welcome to what's going to be a phenomenal episode of the Smart and Simple Matters Show. I'm pretty stoked to have Ethan Waldman on with me today. The short way to introduce Ethan is as an all-around technology whiz and wise beyond his years when it comes to living a simple life. But that would be doing him a disservice, so I'll tell you a bit more about this classy man. Ethan lives in Burlington, Vermont, is a self-described Mac fanatic, plays a number of musical instruments, and does some quality songwriting. Ethan also runs a business at cloudcoach.net, where he shows the world just how much he loves small businesses and owners like me. He has an email mastery system called Inbox Zero, and we'll be talking about that and how you could use it to simplify and organize your email. And if that's not enough, he is also a WordPress coach and all-around technology coach. He's been featured on prominent websites such as Productive Flourishing, ProBlogger, The Minimalist, Jeff Goins, Right to Be Done, Be More with Less. The hits just go on and on. So welcome, Ethan. Glad to have you on the show.
Thanks. Great to be here, Joel.
All right. So to make sure everyone knows what kind of awesomeness we're covering today and how it will benefit them, Ethan and I are going to be discussing technology tips, some minimalist wisdom, common sense ways to simplify your work and life, and if we have time, and I really hope we do, I'll give him an opportunity to talk about the how and why behind the tiny house that he's building. So, Ethan, let's draw everyone a picture of your story behind becoming a cloud coach and being your guy for that. Can you tell us a bit about how your online entrepreneur journey began? Like, what was the catalyst or what were the catalysts?
Sure. I mean, I would say that in regard to kind of becoming the cloud coach, I kind of joke that I've been doing this since I was about 11 or 12. Just nobody was paying me for it until recently. But enough people said, like, man, you could charge people money for that kind of help. I've heard that enough times that it finally clicked that that's probably what I should be doing, and I should build a business around something that I'm really good at. Kind of my story goes that, you know, I started, I think, helping my aunt with her computer when I was a little kid. I started helping my grandparents with their computer, and I just have always had kind of a patient and compassionate way of helping people when they don't understand something. So just kind of getting practice at doing that has led me to where I am now. I would say the catalyst for actually starting Cloud Coach, you know, more recently was that I was in technology education, but on the corporate side of things. So doing technology training for bigger companies, and just really never felt connected with the people that I was training. Like, I've really always loved small businesses, so I didn't really feel like I had the impact that I do now when I can work with somebody one-on-one on their business's website or social presence versus, you know, teaching the employees of some department of some company how to do like one little part of their job.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So when you offer the ability for people to have you be your guy for that, you before had a very small window in which you could operate. Now that you're doing your own thing and you have the ability to interact with people, I know because I've seen, you know, just an absolute ton about technology. Mm-hmm. So you are using your passions right now to be people's guy for that in a ton of different ways. Can you just give us a rough idea in terms of how many different things that you are someone's guy for?
Sure. I mean, I do everything from, you know, helping people buy, select, set up computers, getting their business online, so building people simple websites that they can use, teaching people how to update websites they already have, a lot of teaching people about email marketing and building an email list, which is just so important, teaching people how to use, you know, the social spaces, Facebook, Twitter, Yelp, considering ways of getting their businesses kind of out there, and then also just kind of one-off technical things. I mean, the way that I like to talk about it is like, nobody is stupid. You know, everybody has wisdom. Everybody has the ability to figure these things out themselves. But, you know, it could be the difference between you spending 4 hours wrangling with some setting or some setup that could take me 20 minutes or a half hour. So it's really about allowing people to value their time for what they're good at and letting me do the things that I'm great at for them.
Yeah, I could have used you a couple of times last week. But I know that you're like me in some ways and that you have a very simple, bootstrapped business model. And every once in a while, you're talking about the value of your time. How much do you value your time? Do you ever get the urge to just, quote, go big and abandon some kind of small, limited, simple bootstrap model and get some kind of giant, complicated system that might have a learning curve that will benefit you in the long term? Do you ever have that desire to go big?
Right now, I'm focused on building the business around my skills and around me, which I know isn't, you know, necessarily the advice that you would hear from, you know, a business professor. But again, doing what I do for Cloud Coach is something that I really enjoy. It's something that I don't mind spending my time on. So right now, this is kind of about filling my calendar with inspiring clients and inspiring projects to work on. I definitely do see opportunities to expand in terms of creating more self-guided training, because that's, again, something that I do a lot of. And so what I mean by that is creating learning materials so that maybe I'm too busy to take on another client for WordPress coaching, but I also have a course that you can take that teaches you what we would cover in our sessions.
Well, that's good stuff. So I want to just shift gears ever so briefly and get into more of the core of what we're going to be talking about today. I want to make sure people have the opportunity to hear your thoughts and your tips on a wide range of topics. So I'm going to start first with a prominent theme that you've already hit on, which is email. Mm-hmm. And everyone who's not living under a rock or is under the age of, say, 80 uses email these days. But at least for me and most of the people I talk to, very few of us would say that we use it well. And actually, I bet more people would say that their email controls them instead of them controlling it. Do you have a general philosophy behind the proper and efficient use of email you could share with us?
Sure. I think that it all comes down to a new paradigm. And that is that, you know, if you treat email using the metaphor of a mailbox the way that you used to use mail, like you've got a mailbox, postman comes and delivers your mail, and you've got this physical thing, and then you organize that into files and folders. If you work in that paradigm for email, you're going to get behind, because email doesn't behave that way, or it doesn't have to behave that way. Really, I advocate kind of less obsessive files and folders and organization, and more of relying on search and relying on rules, or in Gmail they're called filters, to kind of automate a lot of the organizational things, so that way you don't have to do it as much manual organizing.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. So you can give people the diagnosis that their email box is sick, if you will, and needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
I know that oftentimes my email box looks sick, and I don't necessarily achieve a state of inbox zero, as you call it. I'm aspiring to that. How would I know? What are the symptoms, though? How would I know that my inbox is sick and I need either a system or somebody to help me with a out-of-control inbox?
I mean, everyone has to be the judge of that for themselves, because I know people who swear by leaving every message they've ever received in their inbox, and that is what works for them. But to me, one telltale sign is that if you've got things in your inbox that are no longer action items or relevant things that you actually need to have visible, and they're still visible and still lying around because you've either not perfected a system that helps get rid of them, or you don't know how to get rid of them in a way that is like safe so that you could find them again, that's a good sign. So having things lying around that you no longer need but you still keep, that's a good indication. I usually try to keep my inbox with things only that I'm using, and like either things that still need my response or things that I'm referencing. Say I'm writing an article and I got an email from someone with something pertinent to that article, that would still be in my inbox, but everything else is out of the inbox.
Gotcha. So it's not a to-do list. You might have that email sitting in there that you're going to need a reference for some article that you need to write that you don't actually need to respond to. It's just something that's prompting you that here's something that's interesting or important to me at a later point in life. You'll leave that kind of thing and you won't archive it, or you'll obviously label it in a certain way so that you can find it easily.
Right.
And I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about email because you have a lot of other great stuff to tell us about today. Mm-hmm. But I do want to talk a little bit about your Inbox Zero program.
Sure.
I haven't used it yet, although I'm getting a little bit tempted. I have seen some rave reviews and testimonials from people who have used it. And I believe you say that you can create your own air traffic control around your inbox. What is that? How does Inbox Zero help me achieve my own air traffic control system?
That's a good question. I think that if you think about the metaphor of what air traffic control is, you know, there's this tower, there's this brain that's controlling some form of chaos. It's controlling all these things coming into the airport. So the Inbox Zero training program, it's kind of two parts. The first half, I would say, is all focused around cleaning up the mess that you already have. And then the second half is around creating a system that will organize that mess for you in the future. And so, basically, I give you in the course, there's kind of a recipe for these filters that you set up. And if you follow the process, it's kind of something that you have to do over and over again. And you kind of build up this catalog almost of these filters to the point where most of the email that comes into your inbox is kind of already mitigated before you've even dealt with it. Like, it's already pre-labeled. So all you have to do is look at it. You know, if you need to respond, respond. If you don't, archive it. It's already in the place that it needs to be. And so that's where I came up with the air traffic control metaphor, because, you know, when we go to the airport, we don't really interact with the air traffic control. They're just doing it, and they're making it safe for us, and they're making the airport work. It's kind of the same thing with the Inbox Zero training program. Once you set this all up, it's just there. It just starts working, and you don't have to interact with it nearly as much. You know, you put in the time up front, and then you've built a system.
Yeah, I'm not getting stuck on, but your recipe for labels sounds somewhat delicious in a metaphorical way. I bet that's pretty good. And it reminds me a little bit about what you just talked about, something that I think about pretty frequently, which is making sure that things don't get worse before you start spending your energy and time on making them better. I'm a huge advocate on basically stopping the bleeding, and the classical phrase, when you're in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. So it sounds like you help people stop digging, and then after they've broken themselves out of those bad habits or changed their mindset around what their inbox is or could be, then you build up those skills to give them the going forward to put it on autopilot and to be their own air traffic control.
Definitely.
That's good stuff.
Thanks.
Well, just an FYI to the world, I'm in the development stage of unleashing my first product later this year. And because of that, I've been thinking a little bit about my self-worth and how that might increase once I have something amazing to offer the world. But you already have a great product out there. How did your feelings change in terms of the value you were adding to the world when you launched Inbox Zero?
This is another one of those things where it was something I was doing before, but I never had attached value to it because, you know, these are all things that are inside of Gmail. Like, I didn't write any code. I didn't invent a new plugin that does this for you. This is just using what you already have. So before I really started doing this training, I assumed that everybody knew this or everybody could figure it out. But as I interacted with people through Cloud Coach, it really became clear that that was not the case, that people really did need help with this. And, you know, it just feels great to get good testimonials and see the comments of the people who are having a huge impact from this. So it feels great. It really feels great. And now, you know, at first I was hesitant about charging for it because, again, I'm like, this isn't something that I created. But now, just based on the value that people say they're getting from it, I feel a lot better about it.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Using what you already have.
Yes.
I tend to do the same thing with spreadsheets, and a lot of other people do it in the same way. I guess, would it be fair to summarize what you just said is, in general, people have a lot of the tools and resources that they need to achieve whatever it is that they want. Sometimes they just need some awareness.
Absolutely.
Somebody to give them a little additional guidance or hand-holding to say, look, you have what you need. Here is a program. Here's a paradigm for you. And now, use the tools. Don't buy some super fancy plug-in or additional service. Use what you already have.
Yeah, and that's such a great way of saying it. And I think that applies not just to email, but to just using technology for your business in general. Is more technology is not better. In fact, I would say that get away with using as little technology as you can, because that's less that can fail or break or cause complications. Especially for new business owners, you can get obsessed with all these different tools and services and plugins and things that are available to you. It's funny, when I talk to new business owners, I think the thing that they are usually the most interested in talking about is SEO. And, you know,
search engine optimization.
Search engine optimization. And it's like, you don't have any content to optimize. Like, why don't you, you know, it's like, slow down. Like, that will come in time. But, like, first, there needs to be something there. So it's really about focusing on what you already have in the programs, software, the laptop that you already own, and also about focusing on what you can offer, what value you have to offer to other people. Focus on honing in on that and making that clear before you get interested in doing click tracking or heat maps or like all that other crazy stuff that you can do later once you actually have some customers or some traffic.
Right on.
Yeah.
Do what you're good at first, whether it involves a pen and paper or whether it involves some fancy website.
Yeah.
And then build upon that.
Exactly.
That's good. And I know one other thing that will be good. One of the main reasons I was excited to have you on the show today is because I wanted to ask you this specific question. So here it comes.
Okay.
Is development or self-sufficiency with technology, and you might have already answered this to a little extent, more important to running a small business than other types of self-sufficiency, like, for example, bookkeeping or marketing?
I think I have two answers to the question. For somebody with a brick and mortar business, I would probably put it on the same level of importance as, you know, the bookkeeping, marketing, other skills like that. If you have a business that's based solely online, you're going to do yourself a huge favor by becoming self-sufficient with the technology earlier as opposed to later. And then my caveat to my first answer is that so many of these other services are now technology-based that, again, it all comes back to the self-sufficiency. Like, for instance, you can get great online bookkeeping software for a couple bucks a month. But again, like, if you're not comfortable using it, then you're stuck paying someone to do your bookkeeping. So learning the technology can often have its own benefits, but of course, if you know nothing about marketing and you don't get any customers, you won't be able to afford the technology. So it's different for different people, but it's up there depending on your business.
Well, that's great, and I'm sure if I were to engage you one-on-one, you'd have a lot more to tell me about that. Can you tell me, though, I understand that you have some free or a free strategy session that you offer to potential coaching clients. And I know you said when people first engage you, they talk a lot about search engine optimization. There's probably some other things that you talk about. What would I get out of a strategy session with you as a potential coaching client?
I think it's really about just looking at what the current state of your business is in terms of kind of its relationship with technology, and then looking at where are the opportunities? Where can we either use technology or maybe get rid of technology to move your business to the next level? So a lot of times it's part business consulting and part technology, because it's like, oh, I have no way that I'm capturing the email addresses of my visitors. I'm not building a list. So then we would focus, you know, we might identify email marketing and building, finding the right email service for you and signing up for it as our, you know, potential goal. But essentially we look at your current state and identify where there are opportunities to use new technology to further the business.
All right. So we've talked about the tools that you give other people to simplify and organize their lives. What are the primary tools that you use to organize your personal life?
Sure.
You don't have to list all of them. Maybe just a couple.
Yeah, I'll use a couple.
I'm sure there's a lot.
Well, again, this is an area where I'm constantly refining and trying to simplify and use less things. I have the bad habit of, I'm the kind of person who will write down a to-do on that scrap of paper in my pocket, and then it will disappear. So I'm a big fan of Evernote, which is a pretty popular synced notebook kind of thing. So I can add things to Evernote from my iPhone or from my desktop computer or from the web. So I like Evernote as kind of my database of information and ideas. And then I have used from time to time when I really need to create a lot of lists and outlines, I use a free site called Workflowy. I'm a big fan of just kind of bulleted lists, you know, just outline-based lists. So Workflowy is a really minimalist, simple platform for building those kinds of lists. And that's it. I mean, there's so much available, like, you know, your iPhone has a reminders application. It's got a to-do application and notes. And, like, there are just so many different options. But I try to keep it as simple as I can.
Yeah. I try to do as well. Yeah. We're always trying to add complexity to life. Sometimes it's needless and sometimes it's detrimental. That's a mantra that I try to say every time I wake up. And most days I'm successful. Other times, not so much. But so you and I, we're both small business owners. Uh-huh. But if I'm not a business owner, but I'm still interested in becoming self-sufficient with the common types of technology that you're talking about, I might offer up a great free service like Dropbox as well to sync a whole bunch of different files amongst various systems. Google Drive and Microsoft SkyDrive, they all fulfill the same role, but that's great for free storage and syncing all of your online files to various devices.
Absolutely.
What other resources, if I want to be self-sufficient and I'm not a business owner, would you recommend?
I mean, I think self-sufficiency is, it kind of can go beyond that. I mean, there are things that I write about, just common sense things like backup. A lot of times people who are not as focused on technology haven't really secured a way of backing up their laptop and their files. So that's, you know, something that I can help somebody set up. I get a lot of questions and I've helped people out with calendars and email syncing with either, you know, their smartphones. So that's another area where, you know, whether you're a business owner or not, you can really improve your, you can really improve your life if you know how to use your smartphone in a good way. Just the amount of time that it can save you and helping, keeping you organized. So, you know, helping people get their email on their smartphone, their calendars synced up, things like that. And then, of course, back to the Inbox Zero stuff, because I've definitely worked with people who don't have businesses but still have just nightmare inboxes that need the help just as much as a business owner.
Yeah, I'll send my family members to you. I can think of a couple offhand that could definitely use your services. I've seen it, and oh my goodness, the terror of just peering into their world and what it looks like from an organizational perspective. Well, we are going to have a little bit of time. I'm going to give you a moment to talk about your tiny house in just a second. I just want to ask you one more thing real quick.
Sure.
If you had a very short list, either of a website or a book that's really shaped how you think about your minimalist needs when it comes to life and when it comes to technology, do you have something that was a game changer for you, a website or a book that you want to make other people aware of?
I would say, and this is funny to say this, the book Clutter Busting by Brooks Palmer is something that I read about a year ago and kind of helped shaped my desire to get rid of a lot of things, and I've also adopted a lot of that thinking with what I do with Cloud Coach in terms of using less technology and removing clutter from your computer, just like you can remove clutter from your physical surroundings in your life. Another person who I've found inspiring is Tammy Strobel, Rowdy Kittens. She was actually where I first saw Tiny Houses on Wheels, and so again, that was a big game changer for me because it's actually now something that I'm doing. I would say that a website that was influential for me that I, you know, Illuminated Mind, now called Paid to Exist, Jonathan Mead's website, that was where I really was inspired to explore what work I could do that wouldn't feel like work, you know, like what work was I passionate about enough and good at enough that I could offer it to other people and provide value and also be doing something that was fulfilling to me, so that hard work doesn't feel like work as much if you really love it.
Yeah, I've also been to Jonathan Mead's site. I've been following along for about 2.5 years now, and I know he just switched to Paid to Exist. He's awesome at helping people find their passion. Another guy in a similar vein who is one of my champions of what life could or should look like is a guy named Scott Dinsmore. Mm-hmm. He writes for Live Your Legend and fulfills not the same role, but a similar role that I know Jonathan at Paid to Exist finds for other people. And did I catch you chuckling when you were talking about the book Clutter Busting? Is it because that I've recently gone away from using the word clutter and replaced it with chaos? It's okay. Don't worry. People can still use the word clutter without having to cringe or worry, boy, what's Joel going to say? He really wants me to be talking about the word chaos instead.
You should come up with a new phrase, a new catchphrase, because clutter busting has a really good ring to it. You need, like, chaos something.
It does. I will immediately get to working on that as soon as we're done talking here today.
Okay.
All right, so I promised I'm going to deliver on it. You've talked about Tammy Strobel and her inspiration for putting a tiny house on wheels. I think it's 150 square feet or less. Can you, you've told us why you were inspired by her story, her pictures, and the simplicity and the going down to not a bare minimum. You're not depriving yourself of anything by moving into a tiny house. Mm-hmm. You are just building something that is more representative of how you want to interact with the world and the values that you have. Can you tell us maybe a little bit more about why behind it? And almost as importantly, how you're doing this? Because I understand you're currently building one yourself, and it may be done sometime soon, right?
Soon is the operative word. No, I'm just kidding. It's, you know, I am building it myself, so it's, and I don't have a lot of carpentry experience, so it's a huge learning experience for me. But the why behind the project really just falls in line with my technology philosophy of using less, and it's, I liked that you kind of qualified your statement about that. It's not depriving myself. I'm not, like, trying to go live as a monk in the woods with, you know, drinking water and air for dinner. It's really just about kind of minimizing the parts of my life and the things that I own, just minimizing them so that the only things that I have are the things that I really like having or I really need to have, so that I can focus my time elsewhere. I would say that at first the tiny house was an integral part of starting my own business. You know, because before I made the leap from a full-time job, I was obviously, like anybody would, really worried about whether I would be able to make any money. And so the idea of the tiny house really appealed to me from that perspective, because here was something that I could build for about 20 grand and own it outright, and then, you know, maybe pay someone a little bit of rent to park it on their property. But other people have figured out other ways, you know, of bartering. And I mean, my cloud coaching services are highly sought after in the bar. Like, I barter for all kinds of things. So it's like, I could totally see bartering with someone to let me be on their land in exchange for a couple hours of cloud coach work a month for them. So it's, before I made the leap, it was like, I need to do this so that I have a secure place to live, regardless of how much I'm making. And obviously now that I've made the leap and kind of proven that I can support myself, it's still important to me from the perspective of the simple living, the minimalism, you know, those philosophical kind of things, less about putting shelter over my head, like the dire need to have shelter, because obviously I'm not in the tiny house right now. I'm in a condo. But
You know, I would love to see the Craigslist ad that you put out there. Man with tiny house seeks landowner, will exchange technology services for use of land to put tiny house
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting. It's going to have to
make
be
make sure
word
you send
of
that
mouth.
To me when you put it out there, okay?
I will. Tiny man in tiny house seeks tiny piece of land.
Well, we're going to have to save our mutual love of hot yoga and voiceovers for another day.
Okay.
This has been thoroughly enjoyable and I hope extremely valuable for the folks that are listening. I know that I've learned a ton just from talking to you today. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you'd like people to know?
You should probably tell them how they can find my stuff.
Oh, you know, I probably should. How about I do that? So now I want you to go to Ethan's website, cloudcoach.net.
That's with a dash in the middle.
With a dash in the middle. Thank you, Ethan.
Cloudcoach.net.
And check out these expertly crafted articles about technology that are relevant to everyone. You've heard us talk. Ethan covers just about everything. And you'd think with all the value he cranks out in his email mailing list that you'd have to pay for it, but that's all free. And I know I'm a member of his email community and would definitely recommend you do the same. An awesome starting point is his free 4-module course on how to build a profitable and responsive email list and his wonderful email ninja kit. And after you're done with Cloud Coach, which you should spend some time on, pop on over to Value of Simple. And if you haven't picked up your free blueprint to celebrate and share what makes you tick, go to valueofsimple.com/newsletter and sign up to get instant access to the personal user guide. You'll also see 7 other smart reasons why subscribing to the free newsletter and joining that growing community could be a great move for you. So, Ethan, once again, thanks for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It was a very enjoyable half hour.
All right. It's time for your partner in simplifying to sign off again. You've just listened to the Smart and Simple Matters podcast with Joel Zaslavsky, creator of All Things Value of Simple.